Thanks for listening to this week's Lefevre CFC podcast. Connect with us via our website, lefevrecfc.com, or our Facebook page, www.facebook.com/lefevrecfc. We hope you enjoy this week's message.
I love that we're a church that speaks Jesus and that we sing Jesus. Was that not a powerful time of worship that we had together? So I'm actually sharing the second part of our series on missions. So I'm going to be sharing about local missions or community missions or community outreach, whatever you want to call it. It's really the same thing. And I need control of this, if possible. Okay, the church and local missions. So as I was preparing this, as I was thinking about it, as I was reflecting on it, I realized I think there's another part before we start talking about community outreach and community missions or local missions. And that's about us understanding our identity as the church. Not our identity as a church, but our identity as the church. And so I've actually separated what I'm going to share into two parts. And the first one is part one, why we need to understand our identity as a church before we can truly be missions focused. And the second part is our role in local missions and community outreach. So it's really important that we come to this place of understanding what the purpose of the church is, what God's design was for his church. Because when we understand our identity as the church, it's much easier to outwork what it is. Otherwise, we're just going to be really confused about what God actually wants us to do. So my first point is that the church isn't something you attend, it's something that you're part of. And I know that last time I shared, I talked about these scriptures where it's about the body and many parts. And so Romans 12 says, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body and each part belongs to each other. And 1 Corinthians says, just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit, so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. You know, we are here because we're actually part of something that is bigger than ourselves. We're part of a body. You know, we're together. We make up this one body, and the head is Christ, and we follow him, and we work in... Oh, here we go. So what does it actually mean to be part of a body? What do you think it means to be part of a body? Can you yell something out? Fill a need if you can. Yep. Joined. Together, yep. Supporting. Yep, supporting each other. Participating. That's a really good one because I think I've said it before, but, you know, everybody wants the benefit of community. But if we want the benefits of community, we have to be prepared to participate in it, which is exactly right. So I love that picture there because those are like little cogs, aren't they? They're little cogs. So they're all kind of joined and they're connected and they all work together. And, you know, when you see cogs in a machine, it's all about movement, isn't it? It's moving. It's got a purpose. It's got a design. And so God has designed us to be part of a body, one body, many parts connected together. You know, he designed it for us to be relational because there's a relationship between all of those parts of the body. And that's how God designed it. The church was designed to be relational. And often we talk about, you know, the church being relational, but then sometimes we find that when we look at the church, and I have shared on this before, is that we look and we see that it's a very performance-based church that we have these days. You know, it's sort of almost like we're putting on a show for people to come and to sit and to kind of just watch and observe. It's not an active participation. You know, there's not all of this movement happening between. It's just kind of like a big show up the front of some teaching and some worship, but there's no engagement. There's no relationship. And, you know, I was away this week on a homeschool camp and, you know, I had so many interesting conversations. I can't share them all tonight. But one of the conversations that I was having was actually about, you know, everything that's wrong with the church. Because, you know what, sometimes people like to talk about what's wrong with the church. It always makes for interesting conversation. And this is someone who recently left the church. And she just said, it's all of those charismatic churches. It's their fault. You know, it's the charismatic churches that they're the ones who designed this whole performance-based, you know, church. And I was thinking about it afterwards, and I just thought, actually, you know what? It's not the charismatic leaders of the church. It's actually us. Because we've actually moved away from a relational church as God designed it, because relational churches are harder. They're messier. You know, there's a sense of putting yourself out there, of being vulnerable with each other, of having to kind of sacrifice part of yourself to do whatever it is that the whole body is doing. It's hard. So really, personally, we have chosen a performance-based church because that suits us better. It's not as confronting. It's not as hard. We've tried to create a church in our own image, something that suits us. But when we do that, that's when we've become really disconnected from God's idea of the church. And so that's when we find ourselves going, you know what? I'm just not feeling it. You know, oh, I don't know, like, I'm not that motivated to come to church, you know, or every time I leave, you know, I just don't feel it, you know, I don't feel like, you know, anything's changed, I'm pretty indifferent. That's because the way that we see the church is we're seeing it like a performance. You know, when we're seeing it and we're experiencing it like a performance. If we treat the church as something that we just attend, just something we consume, then that's exactly what our experience of church is actually going to be. See, we forget, so we blame the charismatic churches, but it's about us. It's about us. Whatever we bring here is what our experience of church is going to be. So if we treat the church as something we attend, just something we consume, that's exactly what we will experience. And see, we were created for a relational church because our God is a relational God. You know, we look at the Trinity. It's Father, Son, Holy Spirit. It's not God on his own. There's a relationship between the three. And then God creates Adam because he creates Adam so that he can have relationship with Adam. And then God creates Eve so that Adam can have relationship with Eve. And then they can have families and there's relationships. It's all about relationships. So the church is about relationship. It was never designed to be about anything else. But more importantly, it's because we ourselves were created for relationship as well. We were created to have relationship with one another. We weren't created to be separate and doing our own thing. We were created to be connected. All of those beautiful things about being part of something that is bigger than ourselves. So once again, church isn't something we attend. Is something we're part of, which means we have something to contribute. Now, so this week when I was on this camp, one of the things that we spent a bit of time talking about was that the homeschool community is actually quite a big community in South Australia. We're too big to actually just all get together. So what we do is we form what we call co-ops, co-op being short for cooperative, using the word cooperation. So basically, we bring about 10 or so families together and we form these groups, okay? And so every family is responsible each week for contributing something. So one week we might have one of the dads who's a science teacher. He might come and he might do science experiments with the kids. And then the next week, you know, I might run a music workshop. And then the next week, I think the last one we did was someone who was really passionate about the higher order thinking strategies involved in chess. And so that's what we did. I know, fascinating. The boys actually enjoyed it. But, you know, so everybody brings something. That's actually how a co-op works. Everybody brings something. Everybody contributes something. That's how it works. And I thought about that as I was having these discussions with people, mostly who weren't Christian, and I was thinking, wow, it's a bit like that in the church. You know, we all have something that we can contribute. That's how it works. 1 Corinthians 14:26, when you come together, everyone has a hymn or a word of instruction, a revelation, a tongue, or an interpretation. All of these must be done for the strengthening of the church. You notice that everybody brings something? You know, everybody contributes something. Everybody brings something. And I love that because we don't have to. I do realize that I'm standing up here and I'm teaching and everybody's sitting here, but when we come to church, we can all come with something to give. I prepared a sermon this week, but we can all come. We can all come with an encouragement for someone, a prophetic word for someone. You know, rather than coming and thinking about, oh, I hope the preaching's good today, you know, come with an attitude of, hey, what can I do to support someone else? You know, I want to share something with someone. You know, I want to give Heather a prophetic word, or you know, I'm going to pray with Antoinette, or you know, yeah. You know, like we can bring something and contribute something because then we're getting closer to God's design for his church. getting much, much closer. We can all bring something. We all have something to share and something to contribute. So obviously the best example is the early church, okay, in Acts 2. So the fellowship of the believers says they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. So that's, can you see, that's all about relationship. You know, it'd be really boring if it said, and then they met together at 4:30 on Sunday. Okay? It'd be really boring. There's so much relationship that's happening in there. You know, I can't see very well any glasses. It's quite big too, so that's a problem. You know, all the believers were together. So they were together. Then it says that they met together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes. They ate together. There's a lot of togetherness happening. There's a lot of relationship happening. And it was relationship that was based on them all sharing their faith and sharing that desire to go deeper with God as well in their understanding and their expression of their faith. You know, and our relationships in the church are designed to be like that as well. You know, these are some of the things that our relationships can look like in the church. The relationships that are like the early church. You know, relationships that encourage us in our faith, inspire us to speak Jesus. And by speak Jesus, that's my little phrase at the moment that I love, is speaking Jesus, choosing to speak Jesus. You know, when people are talking and we sort of get into that, you know, bit of complaining mode, you know, sometimes we do. You know, and just being that person who says, you know what, okay, let's cut it there and let's just speak Jesus over this situation. Let's speak life. Let's speak power over this situation. You know, we can choose to speak Jesus over each other. Praying together. You know, Beck is so good at doing that. You know, we were over there the other week for dinner and, you know, we're talking about some of the challenges and she's like, well, let's just pray. Like, that's awesome. It wasn't weird at all. It felt completely normal. And maybe the first time you do it, it will feel really weird. But it's actually something really beautiful that we can share together. You know, we need to surround ourselves with people who are going to challenge us, people who are going to inspire us to go deeper and to grow, you know, to have an attitude of working together to share the gospel. You know, working together to bring glory to the head of the church with Christ and worshipping and expressing and outworking our spiritual gifts. That's part of the purpose of the church, is actually for us to express and outwork those gifts that God's actually given us. So this point that I'm going to make now. So I was reading a really interesting book when I was away. I was also having lots of very interesting conversations when I was away, which was great because I felt that, well, they were God conversations, okay? But we were talking about these co-ops that I was telling you about, and someone said to me, she said, oh, I just can't get them going. These are non-Christian co-ops. She said, I just can't get them going. And I said, well, why do you think that is? And she just says, people don't get it these days. And she goes, when my mum was homeschooling us, you know, all of the parents were involved. Everybody came, even the dads would come if they could, and everybody contributed, everybody understood. But these days, everybody just wants to dump their kids. Everybody just wants a break. And I was like, oh, that's really interesting. You know, why do you think that is? And she said, look, I think it's because we're a much more individualistic culture. And I was like, yes. Yes, and then I started telling her a little bit about the church and she wasn't very interested in that at all. But then that kind of led me on this track of, you know, we've got this don't be confused, kids, by individualism and collectivism. That, okay, basically, collectivism is we and individualism is me. So in a collectivist kind of culture, we put our own needs aside. We sacrifice ourselves for the greater good of the group. Okay, but when we have an individualistic culture, we put our own needs ahead of the needs of a group. You got me? Got me? Cool. So here we go. So if you are influenced by an individualistic culture, which is every single one of us here right now, I don't know if you'd want to call yourself an individualist, but these are some of the values or the ideals that you would have. Independent, self-reliant, achievement-orientated, competitive, assertive, pleasure-seeking, self-assured, direct, self-interested. You know, kids, you guys are actually growing up, young people, sorry, you're not kids, you're growing up in a world that tells you that those are your values. You know, those are your core values. They're not your core values. Because when we actually go back to the Word of God, we see they're kind of in opposition to the Word of God, aren't they? So we have to be really mindful and really aware. Because if we are more like a collectivist culture, which is essentially where the early church was, or what the early church was, we're going to be socially interdependent, connected, moderate, traditional, cooperative, obedient, self-sacrificing, sensitive, self-controlled, and equalitarian, which just means that, you know, we value things that are equal. We don't think we should have more than someone else. That's the early church. See, when we read the early church, particularly this part here, where it says that they all the believers were together and had everything in common, they had everything in common because they sold everything and then they divided it all up equally, so nobody had any more and no one had any less. I mean, we can't even imagine that, can we? Like, that's so far outside of what we understand. Also, the fact that they sold their property and possessions to give to anyone who is in need. You know, that's another thing we read and we go, oh, I can't even relate to selling my house and giving all my money to the poor, you know. And we have to understand that the reason why all of that was happening was because there was a collectivist culture, okay? So that actually helps us to understand why we don't even understand that, or why we struggle with that a little bit. And this quote here is that the problem with having an individualistic culture is that it actually separates us from God's design, because we were designed for relationship. We weren't designed to be separate. And we wonder why there's this increase in mental health and there's this increase in loneliness and isolation in our communities. Well, it's because we weren't created to be independent, autonomous, or self-sufficient. We were made to live in humble, worshipful, and loving dependency upon God, and in a loving and humble interdependency with others. Our lives were designed to be community projects. Yet the foolishness of sin tells us that we have all we need within ourselves. So we settle for relationships that never go beneath the casual. We defend ourselves when the people around us point out a weakness or a wrong. We hold our struggles within, not taking advantage of the resources that God has given us. So all of that is really important for us to understand. So like I said, we understand that because when we read about the early church, the whole reason why it blows our mind is because it was such a different culture to what we live in right now. But if we think about how we see the church, see, if we look at the church, through the lens of an individualistic culture, we're going to be asking questions like, what can this church do for me? Do I like the preaching? Do I like the worship? How can this church meet my needs? But if we look at the church through the lens of a collective culture, we're going to be asking different questions. We're going to be asking questions like, you know, how can I get involved here? You know, what could I give? What could I contribute? How can I meet the needs of others? Can we see? So why is this important? I think it's probably obvious why it's important. But, you know, if we choose to experience church as an individual, we're going to be much more concerned with our needs than others. So my topic today was community outreach. And so this is really important for us to understand, because we're not going to get what community outreach is all about or local missions if we don't understand this, or we've chosen to perceive the church or experience the church from an individualistic standpoint. And if we can learn to recognize our tendency, which is all of our tendencies, to be individualistic, we can ask God to help us. Can't we? We can ask the Holy Spirit to help us so that we can learn to open our hearts and welcome and include others. Because sometimes when we're thinking about ourselves, it's very hard to include others because we're focusing so hard on trying to include ourselves. And so that's why when we can learn to think outside of that and allow the Holy Spirit to change the way we think, we can start to include others and really welcome others. So now I'm going to talk about local missions and community outreach, which totally flows on from that. But see, you know, it all exists to show and share the love, the hope, and the power of Jesus to those who don't know him. But see, as we, as the church, experience the love and the hope and the power of Jesus amongst ourselves, do you know that naturally overflows? Because we're going to be really excited and really quite passionate and interested in others. You know, the more we actually experience that ourselves, and, you know, I'm aware that maybe, you know, you haven't experienced that in the church. Maybe that hasn't been your experience at all. You haven't ever experienced what I'm talking about. I think that's something we can work on. We're a small church. I think we do this some of this really, really well too. I'm not saying we don't do it well. But, you know, if that's our experience, we're going to naturally want to include others into that, and it's just going to naturally overflow. It doesn't have to be complicated. It doesn't have to be hard. So we need to get our identity as a church right before we can overflow. So our mission for community outreach, local outreach, is to lead people to become fully devoted followers of Jesus, lead an only Jesus movement that transforms lives, communities, and the world. And the reason why I said only Jesus is, once again, that whole individualistic thing, is that we have to understand that it's only Jesus that changes and it's only Jesus that transforms. It's not us. Okay, we're just the vessels. Okay, we're just the vessels. But that's really important that we understand that when we go in, sometimes, you know, we can feel, I certainly feel that in my job. So I have a helping job. You know, I help people who have, you know, families who have kids with disabilities. And I know that even though I'm doing something good, I'm just putting Band-Aids on big open wounds. And that the only thing that's really going to bring change and transformation for some of these families, and I'm talking about internal change and transformation, is the power of Jesus, the healing power of Jesus. And so it's really important that we understand that it's not about us. It's not about me having this great ministry or our church having all these ministries that we can put names to. It's actually that people are encountering Jesus. They're encountering Jesus because it's only him that changes. And we do it in his name. And we do it always for his glory. So each of you should use whatever gifts you've received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. So how can we get involved in local missions or community outreach? So really we know the answer to this probably, and that's that we can give of our finances. That's something we do to overseas missions. We can do that for local missions. But the best thing about local missions is that we can actually give ourselves. We can give our own time, our own resources, our own self to supporting whatever it is that God has placed on our heart. And my favourite thing at the moment is see a need, feel a need. And Zoe and I have been making lots of jokes about that. Even on Sunday, Donna said, you know what our church needs? We need someone who can play the drums. And I was like, Donna, see a need? You feel a need. So yeah, that's right. For anyone who didn't hear that, she said her son is a drummer. So that's why she's noticed that we're missing a drummer. Yeah. So seeing a need, responding to need. If you see a big need, something that you can't meet immediately, then let's get together and let's try and figure out how we can work together to support that. So I know I shared at the church meeting that we had about the music together that we've been running during the week. So that's been really positive because we've been trying to sort of connect in with some disadvantaged families in the community. But one good thing that's actually come from it is the fact that I'm here on a Wednesday and I get to see what the Uniting Church is actually doing in terms of community outreach here. And that's been really, really great because this is a super active church in this community. I mean, they're doing 3 days a week, they are open all day, and they're doing so many different things. So 3 days a week, they have someone who's employed to run the kitchen. Now, I thought the kitchen was just providing food for the cafe, but the cafe in and of itself, that's for people in the community who are lonely and isolated to come and have a cheap meal, a cheap coffee, and have a chat. Okay, but they are also preparing meals for the community as well. So I didn't know this because I said, oh, look, some people from our church wrote down on their pieces of paper that they were interested in like a soup kitchen. And she's like, well, that's kind of what we're already doing here. Like we're preparing meals and we're often delivering them and giving them to families who are in need, but also to elderly widows and widowers who wouldn't make themselves a meal. They just have a piece of toast for dinner. You know? And I was like, that's awesome. And so then I said, well, do you need any volunteers? And she said, yes. She goes, because you know what? It's not an exaggeration. Most of their church are in their late 80s, early 90s. I'm not exaggerating. So when you're 93 and you're chopping up carrots, you're not going to be as fast as someone who might be 73. So they are really, really keen on people who can chop carrots. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Really quick at chopping carrots. So they are really quite desperate and quite keen for volunteers. And so we don't have to reinvent the wheel as a church. We don't have to start a soup kitchen because we've already got an opportunity here. So, you know, Kath, who's the lady who runs the kitchen, she's really lovely. And she said, you know, anyone can volunteer. If they just want to volunteer 2 hours, that's great. You know, she's really open to whatever. So if that's something that you feel is on your heart, you think that will be a good thing to do, that you feel that God maybe has put that on your heart, there's an opportunity right there for us to get involved with what this local church is already doing for the community. So they also have the food bank here on Wednesdays. And so what they actually need for the food bank is they need people to be finding people in the community who need food bank, because food bank have lots of rules about how they operate. It's pretty confusing, actually. So they actually need us to find people in the community who we can give these vouchers to so that they can then come and purchase super cheap food. So they pay $20 and they get like $100 worth of food, okay? But they're not allowed to advertise. They're not allowed to go out. So that's why they link in with churches, so that we can go and find the people who need the food and give them the vouchers and then, and you know, maybe even help them come in to actually pick all of that food up. So there are opportunities there. And so, you know, we did read, Bernadette put all to, like, all of the replies and the things on the papers that we did at the meeting. And we were interested to know what the church actually wants to do in the community. And there were so many great ideas. And I love that we know what the needs are here. But there's also lots of opportunities for us to get involved in meeting those needs. And so that's just a couple of ways I could go on. So in closing almost, questions to think about. Because I do think it's good that when you hear a message or a sermon that you go away and you think about it and you reflect about it, and you also weigh it up with God's word too, because, you know, I'm not above making a mistake. You know, go and test it out, you know, pray about it, you know, don't criticize it, but, you know, sort of suss it out, you know. And so these are the questions that I want to encourage us as a church, just to really think about, how do I treat and see the church? Are my thoughts in line with God's word? Do I understand God's design for a relational or a collective church? Am I willing to be part of it, even if it costs me something? How can I be part of building deeper, closer spiritual connections with other believers? What steps can I take? How does God want me to contribute to the body? What can I give? What can I bring? How can I respond to the needs in the wider community? How can I work with others to share the love, the hope, and the power of Jesus? I'll email them this slide out for people, just to have, you know, just to have something to reflect on in your devotions and things like that, because I think those are really important questions that we need to ask ourselves so that we can better work together as the body. And, you know, as with everything, you know, we come back to Jesus. You know, we come back to the head of the body. We come back to the head of his church. And really, sometimes I think we do make all of this a bit complicated. It's not. It's just about Jesus. It's just about Jesus. And so in thinking about us as the part of the body and thinking about Jesus as the head, you know, how can we submit more fully to what it is that he wants us to do? Because, you know, we come in with our own ideas all the time. But ultimately, you know, we need to submit to him and to his leadership and to his authority, knowing that that he's a good God. I mean, we have a relationship with him because he's a good God. We have a relationship with him because he's love. And so we know that we can trust him enough to fully submit ourselves and our lives to whatever it is that he wants us to do. So that's my encouragement. So I want to finish with a song that we're going to play through the computer device. And this song is called I Speak Jesus. And when I heard it, I fell in love with this song, firstly for the reason that I was saying before about how it's about choosing the language and choosing I Speak Jesus. You know, that's the language I speak. I don't speak complaint and judgment and criticism. I speak Jesus, you know, and I speak life and hope and love. I speak Jesus. That's the language that we use. But it's also about, you know, the power of the name of Jesus when we go out and we speak it to the community and when we share with people. Like, there's power in the name of Jesus. And we know that the power is there to transform and to change people's lives. You know, we speak Jesus not just over ourselves and over our friends or our family, but over people in the community too. And so, you know, I just encourage you that to have a listen to the words have a time of reflection, and then I'll just get up and close in prayer. So we're going to close the service here because I talked a little bit too long. But, you know, as I shared, you know, we can take this time to encourage each other, to spend some time praying for each other. We've still got a few minutes. So, yeah, don't be afraid to turn to the person next to you or find someone to encourage or pray with. And maybe you didn't come prepared with a prophetic word today or an encouragement. But you know what? Sometimes just giving someone a hug is nice. And just saying, you know, I care about you, I love you, is there anything I can do to support you? So, you know, we'll just hang here for a bit until we formally close the service, but yeah, take the opportunity if you desire.